time certain, item 512.
Approval of the fiscal year 2016-17 budget for the City of Portland.
Okay, here comes Andrew and Jeremy. Do I need to reconvene us as the budget committee? Okay, so I am reconvening the City Council as the budget committee. No need to recall the roll because I think it was called earlier, and we're all, let the record show, we're all still here. I'm now opening a hearing to discuss possible uses of state revenue sharing. This hearing is being held by the City Council of Portland, Oregon, in compliance with the provisions of the State Revenue Sharing Regulations, RS 221.770. It is to allow citizens to comment on the possible use of these funds in conjunction with the annual budget process. As proposed for council adoption, the fiscal year 2016-17 budget anticipates receipts totaling $16,008,397 from state revenue sharing. As has been the case in prior years, it is proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support fire prevention and police patrol services. Is there anyone here who wishes to be heard on the subject of state revenue sharing? Anyone signed up on that?
Be a first if we did. Final vote on the transportation.
51.2.
Congratulations.
No one signed up for the revenue sharing.
Okay, anyone want to speak on state revenue sharing? If not, then I will close the hearing on the on possible uses of state revenue sharing. Unless there are any council comments on that subject, then I'll close that portion of the hearing. Now it's time to take up the regular budget.
And actually, Mayor, if you wouldn't mind, if I just take a minute to run through the process, because it can get a little bit Byzantine. So I just want to make sure everyone knows what we're voting on when, because there are going to be multiple steps that we go through over the next little while. So what is going to happen first? And so again, the entire process here is to get to an approved budget, and you are acting as the budget committee and getting to approved budget under local budget law, making any amendments to it, et cetera. There is a budget, proposed budget as filed, and that was filed a little bit more than a week ago, and that is a budget that includes some new revenue. And the very first thing we're going to do is we're going to need a motion and a first and a second to consider changes to the proposed budget as filed. That doesn't need a vote. It will just be a motion. After that, my understanding is we'll be moving forward with a substitute, which is a package that does not include new revenue. We will need a motion and then a vote on that substitute at that time.
Okay. Andrew, don't we make a motion to bring the substitute first and then make the adjustments?
We don't. We've
well, okay.
We've actually walked through this with the city attorney.
Yeah, you're the expert.
And it is a little bit different than sort of normal council process. I will then describe very briefly, although we had a work session on it, so I won't take much time on that in terms of that package. At that point, we'll take up individual amendments to the substitute, because that's what the amendments are based off of at this time. Each amendment will need a first and a second, although we can do a first and a second for all, the whole package of amendments that you have in front of you, and then take individual votes on them. After you've talked about all the amendments, after you've voted on the amendments, you will then have a motion and a vote to approve the entire package of budget adjustments, including the amendments. That is not the final vote on the approved budget, but what that is essentially saying is the substitute, all of the amendments, the entire package in front of you, there's a vote to essentially, you know, approve that for discussion. At that point, we'll take public testimony. And the reason we go through all that is so the public knows what they're voting on, right? So they know that they'll be voting on a substitute, they'll be voting on any amendments you've discussed, and then can testify about any of those things. After public testimony, then we approve the entire budget. That's the final step in today's process before the tax levies.
So let me restate that, both for my understanding and make sure we all have it, which is the first motion is to essentially open the window for amendments, right? To move to amend. Right?
The very first motion is for the budget committee to officially put on the table the proposed budget as filed. Because it has been filed, it's been discussed, but now we need to put that. So we need a motion.
You move your budget.
Okay, so I'll move the budget, the approved budget as filed.
Second.
Okay. Now then I'll take a motion, right, for the consideration of a substitute.
I'll move substitute.
Second.
and then we should take a vote on that motion and then start working on amendments to the substitute, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so unless there's further discussion, let's take a vote on the motion for a substitute, please.
Ish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritt.
Aye.
Hales.
I'm going to support this motion, although there are still major unfunded responsibilities for the City of Portland in the substitute. I appreciate that there's a great deal in this budget that I proposed and that the council supports, and I appreciate that support. And I think there are items that we're going to discuss in the upcoming discussion about further amendments that will further improve this budget. But there are some big problems in our city that remain to be addressed, and they will not, in my opinion, be addressed without new revenue. One is that we do not have enough police officers, and we are having less of them as the weeks go by. And that's because the situation for hiring police officers has changed. In a post-Ferguson era, in an economy in which people who have the skills to be a police officer have many choices about the work they can do, it's gotten harder for municipalities to hire police officers. And that's why there are 250 vacancies for police officers across the state of Oregon, 64 of them here. We will, next week, I believe, have another wonderful ceremony where we hire three more police officers. And I enjoy each and every one of those. And I'm so amazed and impressed by the caliber of the people that we're hiring into the Portland Police Bureau, the diverse backgrounds they bring, the life experience they bring. They're wonderful. The trouble is the people are retiring faster than those folks are being recruited. And we need to redouble our recruitment effort. We need to pay signing bonuses and raise our starting salary. All those things are proposed in this budget, and some of them are funded. And I, again, appreciate that very much. But we have much more work to do on this subject, and this problem is going to get more serious over time. Summer is coming, and with it, the problems of summer that have already begun, a wave of gang violence that's worse than we've ever seen, and serious issues on the street that require sensitive handling by police officers. So the need to deal with that problem will remain after the vote on this budget. And again, I support the balance of this budget. It's a good budget. It does a lot of good things for Portland. It continues our commitment to housing. It takes good care of city employees who need to be respected and supported and paid a living wage. It addresses more gang outreach workers for that problem of gang violence. It does a lot of good things, but what it doesn't do is make sure that we reverse the decline of the workforce in the Portland Police Bureau. The other thing it doesn't do is create a new way for dealing with people who are homeless on our streets other than either ignoring the problem or arresting them. And the need for a diversion program is real. I understand that that is still formative and that there's work to do, but we need to commit to and fund that work. And then there's some capital projects that got cut in the process that I regret seeing cut. I think the Better NATO project is a wonderful innovation. And if you look at how NATO is operating today and the busy park that we have and all the new hotels and other construction downtown that will crowd the waterfront with more pedestrians and more bicycles, the need to get it right with Waterfront Park is becoming more acute. Do we have to do that this summer? No, but it'd be a good time to start since we've already created the project and have it operating today. So there's some holes in this budget that I regret we haven't filled. But the rest of it is good work, and I appreciate the good work that's been done. And again, we'll say this a couple of times today to you, Andrew, and your team, but your staff has served us very well. I appreciate it very much. Aye.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
So I will just very briefly, we had a budget committee meeting on Monday, May 16th, and went over this substitute in detail. So just to recap, the very high level, in terms of the general fund changes, what the substitute does is it invests $13.8 million of ongoing resources and in a variety of programs. And again, those were discussed and have been available on the website over the last couple of days. And that is from $9.2 million of surplus, as well as $4.8 million of bureau reductions. On the one-time side, the budget invests just under $20 million of one-time resources. $16.4 million of that is from one-time projected surplus going into 16-17, $1.7 million of excess Bancroft bond funds, and a $1.7 million carryover of 15-16 contingency.
Okay. Questions for Andrew before we begin with further amendments?
Mayor,
to
we all have a cheat sheet, right, with the amendments? Mm-hmm. Is it your intention to have Andrew just walk us through each one? We'll see if there's a first and a second, and then debate them and vote on them?
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
With that, then, moving on to the amendment process, again, you do have this list in front of you of amendments, so I guess you want me to go ahead and describe?
We can take them as motions. I'll move amendment number one, which increases funding in the Portland Police Bureau for a body camera program.
Second.
Okay. Andrew, you want to describe that?
Yeah. What this does is it allocates 1,685,929 of ongoing general fund resources to the Police Bureau to support a body camera program. But because those resources won't be needed as the program ramps up immediately, it does have a one-time offset and a corresponding reduction in 2016-17 of one-time resources. The funding source for this add is a reduction in the ongoing general fund capital set aside established in the proposed budget. So you may recall there was $2 million of money set aside in future years for capital projects. This would reduce that. There was $2 million set aside. This reduces it by just under $1.7 million and dedicates that to body camera costs.
Great. Questions about this item?
We're going to consider the budget notes separately, right?
Yeah, we'll just take a vote on each of these to add them to the substitute, and then we'll take testimony on all of the above. Okay? So any further discussion before we do that?
So we're going to vote now?
Vote now on each one as we go, and then allow people to testify, and obviously we can change our mind and remove items or adjust items based on what we hear, but we need to get them all added to the substitute ordinance that's in front of us. Right.
So maybe it's just me, but I really don't understand this budget note and what it's doing in terms of...
This isn't a budget note. This is actually an amendment.
Okay. I don't understand this amendment and what it's doing or attempting to do in terms of moving money around body cameras.
Yeah, let me try and walk through. So what the mayor included in his proposed budget, he set aside $2 million of ongoing funds that would be available in future years for capital projects of any kind. He used those in the first year for specific one-time, and they weren't linked to specific things, but used those one-time resources to balance some of the one-time expenses. But you, again, by putting the ongoing in there, assuming there were no changes in 17, 18, and beyond, council would have $2 million to invest in capital projects, and we would need to discuss what the allocation process for that is. It was not allocated anything specific after the first year. What this amendment does is it takes most of that, $1.7 million of the $2 million, and it says we're going to dedicate that to police body cameras and the ongoing costs related to that program.
$2 million in fiscal 17, 18?
Correct.
Yeah.
And so the Police Bureau already has one-time resources to purchase the cameras, to deal with some of the startup costs. They can tap into some of their asset forfeiture funds in 16-17, but the ongoing cost of running a body camera program, which can be significant, other jurisdictions have found that as they've implemented these, this would make sure funds are available in those future years for the records management costs, the staffing costs, et cetera.
And Andrew, just based on the testimony we had from the Bureau, what they said, I think I recall the testimony was that they have to go through a process of developing the policy. They have to go through a policy, a process of procurement, and that is effectively why the money doesn't get tapped until the next fiscal year. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
And we're going to discuss that in the next motion under the budget note, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
So that make more sense? It took me a while, too, so I appreciate that. Thank you. Any other questions about this before we take a vote on that motion? Okay. Roll call on that motion, please.
Fish?
I'm going to support... the mayor's amendment, and frankly, this is a tough call because the mayor, I think, correctly put $2 million aside for a capital set aside, and that reflects the mayor's values and this council values of showing some discipline. But this is a community priority, and there is available money, and it doesn't require an offset to other things the council wants to fund. So I'm going to support this. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I will support this too, but I will express my concerns that I really don't feel we have our act together on body cameras, both in terms of how we're going to pay for it in the long term and getting the policy right and getting this the necessary labor agreement negotiated that will allow body cameras to be used by our sworn officers. I will support this, but I express strong misgivings we still don't have our act together on this. Aye.
Novick?
I think that having body cameras is a very good idea. I think that having a capital set aside is a very good idea. I also think that we're going to have an ongoing discussion about the resource needs of the police bureau that go beyond body cameras. And in the future, I might feel that it's appropriate to make exactly this change, but for right now, I'd like to postpone the discussion of funding body cameras until we have a broader discussion about funding for police needs. And I don't want to rush to eliminate this idea, which I thought was a very good idea, of having a $2 million capital set aside. No.
Prince.
As has been discussed, that this money is not going right out the door. And so I need to remind the council that we haven't actually made the policy decision to move forward on body cams yet. That when we had the hearing on it, there was community concern. Representative Lou Frederick then got some changes passed at the state level to allay some of those concerns. So I've got a couple of amendments to the next item, which is the budget note, to reflect that. I share Commissioner Saltzman's concern that we need to do the process in the right order, and I think the next step is probably to have a council hearing on the body cams. That hearing would be moot if we don't have any money set aside to do it, and so that's why I think we should set this aside. I also agree with you, Commissioner Novick, that should we decide not to do this, that putting it back into capital set aside would be the right approach. So this is, I believe, is a placeholder. Aye.
Nails.
I've known that we needed body cameras in Portland since my second month on the job, when I got one of those calls in the middle of the night about an officer-involved shooting. And it was an incident that occurred in the parking lot of Portland Adventist Hospital, in which a man had forced his way out of the hospital by breaking a telephone and making it appear that he had a gun tucked in the waistband of his pants. Again, in the middle of the night, that was the information our officers had. The man was in the parking lot, was confronted by our officers at some distance, and ran toward them, cursing them and counting down. We know this because a young couple who'd been quickly ushered into their apartment by the Portland Police Bureau held their phone up over the windowsill and recorded the incident. Once that recording was provided to the community, it illustrated that our officers had acted improperly in what was obviously still a very unfortunate and tragic situation. But what body cameras do is keep the truth safe. And they keep the truth safe for police officers, and they keep the truth safe for the community. And that's why they're a good idea. No, please, if you interrupt again, you will be asked to leave. So please, you do not get to interrupt the council. Ms. Alinsky, this is your last warning. So body cameras keep the truth safe for everybody, and that's a good thing. Exactly how we'll do that, of course, requires deliberation by the council and more work by the police bureau. One of the themes in this budget that I'm fervent about and that I'm proud of is that we need to keep our commitments. We need to keep our commitments to our firefighters, who we said we would put back on the payroll after the grant ran out. We need to keep our commitments to our parks employees that have been told by the state that they should be paid more, and we agree. We need to keep those commitments. And one of the commitments we've made, it really is to ourselves and to the legislature, that we asked for this authority and now we expect to use it. So I'm glad we asked for the legislative authority. I'm glad, as Commissioner Fritz, I think, accurately stated, we won't do it if we don't have the money in the budget for it. There are other things to do first, but without the money, it's a moot point. So I appreciate this amendment very much. Thank you. Aye. Okay. Motion, I'll make the next motion, which is to amend Attachment B to add a revised, or is this a revised budget note or a new budget note? This is
a new budget note.
A new budget note on body cameras. Why don't you read the note for us, and then we can discuss it.
I think we'll need a second.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, we do. Yeah, so this is a new budget note. Now I will go ahead and read it. Portland Police Bureau Body Camera Program. The FY 2016-17 budget includes resources for supporting a body camera program at the Portland Police Bureau. The Bureau is directed to proceed with the request for proposal process. Implementation of this program is anticipated to incur within the next 3 years, and funding for the implementation will come from the current one-time general fund resources set aside in the Bureau's budget. Any resources available in the Asset Forfeiture Fund and any resources now available in the Bureau's ongoing budget that can be repurposed for implementation. The Bureau will use an outside program evaluator to document and provide evaluation post-implementation to assess the impacts and outcomes of the investment in body cameras.
If I might offer a couple of friendly amendments, mm-hmm. I would suggest that we delete the sentence, the Bureau is directed to proceed with the request for proposal process, unless that also includes coming back to council with that?
Well, they have to come back to council with the purchase order. So they get to go out. I think the intent of this, and I don't know if the police bureau is here or not, but the budget office probably answer this as well. The intent of this is to say, we have funding for equipment. Tell us what you will sell us and for how much, and then pick what the bureau believes is the appropriate technology vendor, and then come to us with a proposed contract, right?
So if I might suggest one further step, which I think the community would appreciate, which is for to have the hearing to send them off to do that, because we did hear a number of concerns about how would these cameras be used, when would they be on, what would be the process, and what the way we left it at council last time was we hadn't made the decision to go ahead and put the RFP out.
Okay, so I'm happy to have a, we should have a public hearing when we do that. No quarrel about that. Of course, the Bureau did have a whole series of community meetings about body cameras that led to their proposed policy.
Yeah, I just so if we could just either delete that sentence or just have the shared understanding that there's going to be a hearing in the near future.
I don't think we need to change the order. Okay. You've got my commitment that when we go to that, we'll get to that point of the RFI or RFP, we'll have the Bureau come make a presentation at public hearing.
Thank you. That's great. And then at the end, this is a suggestion from the Portland Business Alliance. I would suggest we add the sentence, the Bureau will also seek federal and other grants for one-time and ongoing costs of the body camera program. The Portland Business Alliance suggested that there might be grants out there that would assist with this, and certainly our bureaus are really good at going to get grants.
As the expression goes, hope is not a strategy, but it doesn't hurt to ask. Yeah. So I think we have asked and answered the question, but we can certainly put that in there.
I'll read it again. The Bureau will also seek federal and other grants for one-time and ongoing costs of the body camera program.
Okay, so Commissioner Fritz moves that amendment, and I'll second it. Any discussion about first her amendment to this budget move?
I have no problem with the amendment. I would like to add an additional amendment. I guess I want to talk about it out loud first, make sure I'm making sense.
Let's act on hers first.
Okay.
So further discussion about Commissioner Fritz's amendment. Roll call on that amendment, please.
Ish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hale.
Aye. Okay.
Yeah, well, my concern is, as we're talking about purchasing equipment sometime in the next 3 years and possibly locking that in now, so I guess I'm wondering two things. One, this is very complicated technology. It's also a rapidly changing technological environment, so I'm a little concerned that we're going to commit to something, and then 3 years later, there could be a whole new generation of body cameras, data recording and all that, and we're locked into, you know, yesterday's technology. So I think I would like to have, and I would propose this as a motion, I would like to have the Technology Oversight Committee oversee the development of this RFP, as well as the implementation of it. I think it makes sense. Those are people that we all appointed to do this work, and this is a big, complicated project. So
yeah,
it's like software. Yeah.
Wouldn't they do that anyway, or?
Well, I think
that's part of the discussion at council when we come back to the RFP.
Yeah.
I'd like to have the benefit of the Technology Oversight Committee's 2 cents on the RFP,
when
it comes to council. Yeah.
So that's not what they would do ordinarily. What they would ordinarily do is once a project was launched, then they'd monitor it, right? But they don't normally have a role in the front end.
They do. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole goal of the Technology Oversight Committee is to get them up front in the decision-making, including developments of RFPs.
There's a process for the TOC to consider and accept technology projects to oversee, but I think council expressing that's something you want them to do would be important.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. You want to put that in
motion?
Yeah, so my amendment would be the Technology Oversight Committee will oversee the development of the RFP as well as the implementation of any technology system.
Second.
Further discussion on Commissioner Saltzman's motion? Roll call, please.
Fish?
I think that's a good idea. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hale?
Thank you. Yes, it is. Aye. Okay. Further discussion of the now amended budget note under item 2. So then let's please vote to accept that amendment as further amended.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
No.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hale. Okay. Number 3, I'll move to increase funding in special appropriations for the Rosewood Community Center.
Second.
So this is this one was a little bit confusing, I think, in the budget process, and that is this was there was funding for this program in the Police Bureau budget in previous years that funded one position. This actually funds another. The rationale here is twofold. One, there are places in the city where we don't have a community center like Linton, where we provide a small amount of general fund support for a community center operated by a nonprofit, same thing in that case, that we're in an area where we don't have a facility. Secondly, the Rosewood Community Center in particular is literally on the front lines in our effort to try to stem gang violence. Unfortunately, we had an incident not long ago in which four young people were shot and wounded inside the community center, I think highlighting how serious the situation is there and the need. Meanwhile, the Multnomah County has opened a family homeless shelter basically just across the street. So this particular part of Portland, I think, requires some TLC on the city's part and a modest investment to continue the work of the Rosewood Community Center, I think, is appropriate.
I totally support this, Mayor, and as you say, it's very similar to the Far Northwest Linton Community Center. This is the Far Southeast Community Center. If I might make a couple of suggestions, one is that in the motion as printed, it suggested that the funding source would be coming from the youth basketball program. I believe you and I agree that it should come from contingency.
From contingency, yeah.
So I would suggest that we just keep just the first sentence, allocate $55,000 of ongoing general fund resources to special appropriations for the support of the community center from contingency.
Yeah, I'll second your motion. Any further discussion of Commissioner Fritz's motion that just clarifies that this funding, if it's approved, would come from contingency, not from a reduction elsewhere?
And I'd like a clarification as to whether we want to say to special appropriations or immediately allocate it to Portland Parks and Rec to manage.
I would actually prefer that this funding be in the Parks Bureau budget just as the Linton funding
is. Yes, I think that makes more sense. It'll be more secure and make sure we don't
get it. I'll second that further amendment as well, that instead of special appropriations, it's to the Parks Bureau for support of the Rosewood Community Center and end the statement there. So a vote on Commissioner Fritz's amendment first. Two amendments, that is, that it's general fund support, not a reduction elsewhere, and secondly, that it's going to be placed in the Parks Bureau, not special appropriations.
Can I ask the budget office a question first? There are several proposals to reduce general fund contingency. There's this, there's motion 4 for $98,000, there's motion 5 for $75,000, there's motion 9 for $84,000. And I kind of like a temperature check from you as to how much reduction overall in contingency do you think is safe, and at what point do you start getting really queasy, and are you queasy already?
No, thank you for the question, Commissioner. Right now, in the substitute, there is $2.3 million of general fund contingency ongoing to start. The amendments on the table prior to this one would have reduced that by about $262,000. So adding this additional $50,000 will reduce it by about $310,000. So that'll take it just over $2 million. As we've discussed in prior years, there is no right or wrong number for contingency. The larger the contingency, the easier it is to deal with unexpected events during the year. On the other hand, the larger the contingency, the more likely we are to spend it on non-emergency actions throughout the year. So $2 million is consistent with where we have been in the past. As a budget person, I always like that number to be higher, but it's certainly it's consistent with past years.
So you could live with us past. I mean, I was trying to figure out, do we need to pick and choose in order to be responsible? You're saying that you could live at least with all of these being passed if we think they're good ideas.
I think $2 million is a fine number. If we have unexpected costs of more than that, then I'll be back during the year to ask for cuts from your bureaus.
Well, we'll just have to make sure there are no unexpected costs.
Right.
Very diplomatically answered, by the way.
Okay, all right, further discussion. Let's take a vote, please.
Go ahead. Well, I thought at our Monday work session we were counseled that we should come in with amendments and a way to pay for them. And I guess I'm a little philosophically concerned that we're sort of looking for a way to pay for them by drawing down a contingency as opposed to making a hard choice here, which is a choice between youth basketball and the Rosewood Initiative. So that's going to be guiding my vote on a lot of these.
Okay. Noted. Thank you. Okay, let's take a vote, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales. Aye. Okay. I'll move number 4, which is to increase funding for Portland Parks and Recreation for Sheriff Patrol services at the River Place Marina. I'll let you read it and then explain.
Sure, yeah. So what this does is it allocates $98,000 of one-time general fund resources to the Parks Bureau for Sheriff Patrol Services at River Place Marina. The funding source for the ad will be a one-time reduction to general fund contingency and an amends attachments B and C as necessary. This is something that Parks Bureau got funding, I believe, in the fall bump of this year for. This would continue that, again, on a one-time basis into 2016-17.
Yeah, and just a small confession on my part. I and my staff spent 3 months working on this budget line item by line item, and this one was just a glitch or an error, really, on my part or our part, that we had failed to carry that over from where it was lodged before in the bump to the general fund annual budget. But there was never an intention to stop doing this, or at least not on my part. So I had intended to propose the mayor's proposed budget with this funding in it, and it just wasn't there because we missed it. So nothing more complicated than that. It was just a glitch or a mistake.
Both the mayor and I thank the community for bringing this to our attention, not once, but probably six times.
Yeah. Each time they came to the hearings and said, don't forget us. And, and we had until that point. So mea culpa.
I move the motion.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Folksman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay. Motion number five is to increase funding for the Portland Development Commission for the B Corp program. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay, you want to explain that one?
Yeah, so this allocates $75,000 of one-time general fund resources to PDC for support of the Benefit Corporation program, and the funding source will, again, be one-time reduction to general fund contingency and an immensity attachment.
Mayor, I have a question on this, and just, and by the way, a little quirk of fate. I was in Denver recently at a best practice trip that Randy Miller hosted, and I had a chance to go to Boulder for the evening, and At the E-Town town hall, there was a reception for the National B Corp program, and the woman who was in charge of it, so the woman who hosted, we hosted in Portland when B Corp came here, and was it was a big turnout, and it's obviously a big movement. The question I have for you, Mayor, is there an alternate way to fund this using PDC resources, and if not, what's the argument for adding the general fund piece?
Well, so we... I think the answer to the PDC resources is unfortunately not, because frankly, if that would be possible, that would probably be my first choice rather than the general fund as well. So we did this. We allocated $75,000 to start this project during the fall bump. Sorry, the spring bump. So the work got started. Not all the money's been spent yet, but the work got started. And then there was a proposal to expand the effort also proposed for general fund funding within PDC's budget, which has is not included at this point in the substitute. So this is really a rescission. Again, it's not the work has just begun, but this was startup funds for the effort. To me, it still makes sense to start, even if the full effort is going to wait at least another year to ramp up. But it's really a strategic choice for the council. Do we want to try to expand the support for and engagement of and facilitation of people becoming B Corps in Portland? If we want to do that, this is the place to start. There's staff working on this. And if not, it can all be left aside safely. So it's really a judgment call about, do we want to be that place? Do we want to be a city that's really taking an active supportive role of the development of B Corps?
My understanding is that this one was a carryover from a previous allocation,
right. And
that you had proposed a $250,000 ongoing allocation for B Corps, which
is $350,000,
a lot of ongoing money, which is not in the substitute. So what's the purpose of continuing the $75,000 if we're not doing the large ongoing?
Josh, you want to come? Rachel, you want to come describe what's going to happen if we do or do not include the $75,000?
Hi, Rachel Wiggins, Mayor's Office. There's a lot of flexibility with the $75,000. It could be used to develop outside funds and develop a larger Best Four program. If that's not something the council wants to do, $75,000 can incorporate language and training into the current work that PDC is doing to help educate and those businesses who are already coming to PDC potentially become B Corps. the larger program involves a lot of outreach, education, and training to many more Portland businesses.
I think the so larger program involves staff, too. Right?
Correct.
Right. So, but potentially this $75,000 could be used for outreach, for instance, the Portland Business Alliance and Venture Portland and others to help them establish a B Corp program?
Absolutely. Part of the conversation with PDC was leveraging the contracts we already have with Venture Portland and other business associations on the technical assistance work that they're doing and adding on B Corps to that.
Yeah, so that this to me then makes sense that government can't do it all, government shouldn't do it all, but giving a little, keeping this money in the budget to stimulate that process and then hopefully passing it off to community partners is perhaps the way to go.
Absolutely.
So I'm sympathetic to this, but also when you, in your opening remarks, you sort of allude that, you know, the $75,000 could turn into sort of a lobbying effort on the council to do a larger general fund ongoing of $275,000. So can you assure me we're not just going to be putting money at people that are going to just turn around and start lobbying us for more money?
Well, we're not funding any positions with this.
I know, but
I think if the council indicates that they do not want to add any additional funding in further years, then I can assure you that we won't come back with more funding.
Well, I'm okay with the one-time funding. I just don't want it to be, you know, be looking in the mirror and find it's all directed at lobbying us to create a bigger ongoing program.
I think it's fine
to help businesses form B Corps. That's great. I don't want to see it transcend into a lobbying effort in city council.
Right. I think the hope is to leverage outside dollars and to work with the state. The governor has expressed interest in creating a Best for Oregon program, so not having to rely on city dollars.
So Rachel, I would be, because I think the B Corp movement's important to our local economy and our state economy, if this is approved, I would love to get, before the next budget cycle, sort of an update from PDC on what their efforts are. If we could just make a friendly amendment, that we'll get a report on where we are with B Corp, how this money has been used, and what the leverage turned out to be.
Absolutely.
A future council may decide to make additional investments.
Absolutely.
Mayor, I move the motion.
Okay. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay. Let's take a vote, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
As you know, I have an interest in promoting corporate social responsibility. That's why we have a socially responsible investment committee, and I see this as consistent with that commitment, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hale?
Aye.
Here, can I just amend my comment by saying that I was on the fence until Rachel made such a persuasive case?
Well, Rachel's worked hard on this, so that's a nice thing to give her that affirmation. She has worked hard on it. Okay. So then I'll move to motion number 6. I move to update attachment B to amend the data center relocation budget note, and I'll let Andrew read the revision.
Did we get a second?
Second.
Oh, just got a second. Thank you.
So, yeah, this is an amendment to an existing budget note. The original budget note, and it discusses the data center. The substitute package funds the data center relocation at $623,000. The overall cost, the general fund cost of the data center relocation is about $2.7 million more than that. And we've discussed this as we've gone through the process, but this was what was being able to allocate now. OMF is concerned about moving forward with this without full funding. And so the original budget note essentially directed them to come back in the fall bump with a request. This budget note amends that, and I'll go ahead and read it. So in the 2016-17 adopted budget, Council allocated funding for the first year cost of the data center relocation project. Council directs the City Budget Office to add $2.1 million of one-time general fund resources to the current appropriation level targets of general fund bureaus in fiscal year 2017-18. And $596,024 of one-time resources in FY 2018-19. These one-time resources are dedicated to fund the remaining general fund share of costs to finish the data center relocation project. And essentially what this does is it allocates out the general fund to the general fund bureaus that will pay the costs so that when OMF bills them, they are held harmless for this. But it does, in fact, allocate 2017-18 and 18-19 one-time dollars to finish the data center project.
I thought the total cost of the data relocation was $4 million.
The total cost, I think, is closer to $10 million. This is just the general fund portion, and I believe in working with OMF, it is about $3.3 million in total.
You're saying $10 million total for the data center relocation?
Look back to
that's
Claudio.
That's a higher number than I thought.
And maybe OMF as well, if they would like to
okay,
add anything.
Jim.
There we go. Claudia.
Claudio Campuzano, City Budget Office. Yeah, the total data center relocation is anticipated to be $9.7 million over 3 years. $3.3 million of that is the general fund portion, including the general fund portion of the BOIC share.
So the other 7.6 or 6.6 comes from?
From non-general fund bureaus, primarily water and BES. They are the big users of the data center, the Kayenta, all of their data needs are housed at the data center.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions about this change to the budget note?
I move the motion.
Okay. Let's take a vote, please, on that.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hale.
Aye. And Commissioner Fish, do you want to make motion 7 since that came from you?
Yes, thank you. I move motion number 7.
Second.
Colleagues, this is the original budget note as modified, just to put a placeholder dollar amount, and at Commissioner Fritz and the Mayor's suggestion, explicitly linking our funding to the approval of a local improvement district, which Mr. Russell this morning agreed with that formulation. So I move the motion.
Okay. Any further discussion? Then let's vote, please, on that.
Yes. Commissioner Fritz, thank you for including this Halperin in your budget and your original budget documents. This is one of the masterworks in America. It's one of the greatest public works in an urban area, and we've allowed it to fall into disrepair, and we have a unique opportunity to leverage the generosity of the private sector to restore it to its former glory for the benefit of all Portlanders. And I wholeheartedly support this motion. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
I think it's tremendous that we're going to have this public-private partnership to restore the Halperin Fountains, and I think it's appropriate for the city to make this commitment. Aye.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your detail-oriented amendments that the Mayor and I support. So I assume that they support by the time we get to the vote. I'll note for the folks at home that this is not needed immediately, that it is contingent on the local improvement district being formed, and that's why we're putting it over to next year, fiscal year, and instead are putting $1.5 million into paving, which is the very clear and present urgent need. And thanks again to the voters for apparently passing the gas tax, and Commissioner Novick for leading that effort. Aye.
Commissioner Novick is fond of quoting rock lyrics. Even though he's more fond of baseball than I am, I'm fond of quoting Yogi Berra. And because the Orange Line has a stop on the Halperin sequence or just south of the Halperin sequence, sometimes I get off at that stop and walk down the sequence on the way to City Hall. And Yogi Berra said you can observe a lot just by watching. And if you look at the condition of the Halperin sequence, if you look at the condition of those parks, you realize that there's a big reinvestment needed. And yet, even with systems development charge dollars and even with a successful passage of a bond measure, there's not enough money in the system to restore a great park system to the condition that it should be. And so here we have an offer of real serious help from private property owners who are going to tax themselves to fix up the neighborhood park. Not every property owner can do that, particularly in lower value parts of the city with people who are just struggling to get by in their neighborhood. But when you have wealthy owners of big buildings that are ready to tax themselves, I say bravo and vote aye. Okay. Commissioner Fritz, would you like to take motion 8, please?
Thank you, Mayor. I move to increase funding in Portland Parks and Recreation for 2 additional ranger positions to service the east side.
Second.
Okay, discussion.
Thank you. This is to allocate $150,000 of ongoing general fund resources to Portland Parks and Recreation's general fund for 2 additional ranger positions to service the east side, and actually this is the east precinct, including North Portland as well. The funding source for this add will be $150,000 reduction to ongoing general fund support of the Portland Parks and Recreation Saturday Youth Basketball Program, and is amended in attachments B and C. So we had discussion at the work session about the youth basketball program. There's going to need to be a lot of ongoing discussions with the Portland Public Schools and with the TriMet on various funding aspects in upcoming budgets. And so allocating, again, this funding to the clear and present need for dedicated rangers, reminding everybody that we have 6 dedicated rangers on the west side and 0 on the east side. This would provide the funding for that.
I'm concerned about the source. So that is, if we reduce the youth basketball program by this amount, what happens?
Well, this is the first time that we've actually received an invoice from Portland Public Schools for janitorial services for the youth basketball program. It came kind of as a surprise without certainly any contact to me. So I want to have that discussion with the school board and Superintendent Smith, that we will figure that out. But considering the amount of testimony we got about the inequity of the 967,000 that we're allocating to bus passes for Portland Public Schools students and not for Park Rose or David Douglas, it seems to me that, again, with your commitment, Mayor, to keeping the school resource officers funded as well, that the city is being very generous to the school district, and it would be helpful if they could cut us a break for one more year and we can figure it out.
Well, okay, my question is, when will the other shoe drop on this, if it does? That's what I'm worried about. So is this summer basketball or school year basketball?
School year basketball. It's the winter season.
So if they were to say, sorry, we can't assist you anymore, we would find that out by September, right?
Yes.
So I guess with that understanding, I mean, I would be interested in changing the source of this to contingency instead of making the reduction, even though, again, we were all encouraged to do that, given that there's a sufficient amount in contingency. I'd prefer that.
But I'll make
that motion and see if there's council support for that. But the understanding, that doesn't mean we're automatically ready to write a check for $150,000 to the school district. I think we'd still need to have that discussion and negotiation, but I don't want to be caught in a situation of having this program stop because we haven't funded it, just like I don't want to be in the situation of not starting body cameras because we haven't started funded it. So
that's typically very fiscally responsible, Mayor, and I'd be happy to accept that as a friendly amendment.
All right, we'll see if that passes with a friendly amendment. Further discussion? So we'll take a vote now on the Motion 8 as amended to take the funding from contingency instead of from the youth basketball program.
Yes. This is a close call for me, but I'd rather stick with the existing language because the commissioner in charge can still come back in the fall bump for general fund contingency if the negotiations with the school district are unsuccessful. No.
Saltzman.
This also speaks to the concern I raised earlier about we're slowly bleeding our contingency drip by drip. I feel this was a responsible amendment. It proposed funding park rangers, and it proposed a corresponding cut. So I support the original amendment and therefore vote no.
Novick?
I agree with my distinguished colleagues to my far left. No.
Given that, shall we withdraw the motion and vote on the original?
We'll return to the original motion, please. So that the amendment, friendly amendment, sunk it. So let's try again, as stated.
Yes.
I'm enthusiastically supporting this amendment. And Commissioner Fritz, as you know, I have a very strong commitment to the Ranger program. And I appreciate that you have continued to be a stalwart supporter. And through this action, you'll make sure that East Portland has more Rangers to provide the vital services they do to our community. So thank you for bringing this forward. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Although I'm not sure for myself off the cuff whether I prefer funding for Rangers or the youth basketball program, I will defer to the commissioner in charge and vote aye.
Thank you, colleagues. I really appreciate your acceptance of this amendment. It's a classic case of it. If at first you don't succeed, try again, because I think this is the third time we've made this request in the 3 budgets that I've been in charge of Portland Parks and Recreation. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor, for your support and for all the work that the Rangers do. It's a great program. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I'm going to support this for a couple of reasons. One, we need more people on the street who can deal with the problems in parks and public spaces, and we're not going to have enough police officers. If I sound like Johnny One Note, so be it, because that's a problem. The problems in the North Park blocks last summer illustrated that. So having more park rangers for more parts of the city to deal with the livability issues that affect our parks is important. We just had a very large police presence in Colonel Summers Park over the last few weeks to beneficial effect, but we can't do that for very long in any one place with police officers. So having more rangers is a good idea, at least until we have more police officers. Secondly, on the subject of the youth basketball program, obviously anything that provides positive opportunity for youth and that we can possibly afford to pay for, I'm interested in paying for. I'm not interested in simply writing checks to school districts to pay for things that they should pay for. So that's why there's a negotiation here that needs to happen. But we have a big constructive partnership with Portland Public Schools that includes youth passes, includes the cooperative relationship with parks for use of joint use of facilities. And this is, frankly, a minor line item in a big relationship. So what I don't want to have happen is have us being playing chicken with the school district over $150,000. I don't think that will happen, but I'll leave it to the commissioner to negotiate a solution to who pays for the janitors and how. But obviously no one here, me especially, wants to see this program go away, and I know that's not your intention either. Aye. Okay, next motion, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. This motion is to increase funding in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement for an administrative assistant position.
Okay. Further questions? Oh, is there a second? Sorry.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate that. This is for the director's office. This is the only director of a bureau of 50-plus people who doesn't have an administrative assistant. And given that Amalia Alacondamaris not only works with the staff in her office, which are getting more and more plentiful with the management of the marijuana program, and will continue to increase if, based on Denver, that program itself is going to continue to need more staff funded through permits. We also work with 95 neighborhood associations, 6 diversity and civic leadership partners, and tens of thousands of community volunteers. And even though it's challenging to be in charge of Portland Parks and Recreation, where we have several thousand workers, it's in some ways even more challenging to be guiding a community engagement system where we don't get to tell volunteers what to do. We have to encourage them. So providing this level of administrative assistance for the director is very important to me.
Andrew, what's the portion, how much of the remaining contingency is ongoing?
It's a good question, Jeremy. Do you want
to... This proposes to reduce the ongoing general fund contingency.
About 2.2 million?
Pardon me?
About 2.2 million, assuming the amendments are made, all the amendments are made.
Is ongoing money or one time?
Ongoing. Starting in 17-18, it would be back up to 2.2.
Have we recently created staff positions and bureaus through general fund contingency? Have we ever done that?
I have to go back and look. We have made ongoing reductions to contingency in the past. I'm not sure if they staff positions or not, but there have been reductions to ongoing contingency in the past.
And Commissioner Fritz, if this position is so important, is there a reason why it wasn't included in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's proposed budget?
It was.
It was requested as part of their budget. It was not included in the proposed.
I move the motion.
Okay. Vote, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, again, going back to my earlier point about bleeding the contingency, I vote no.
Novick.
I share Commissioner Saltzman's concern, but I would also be concerned about opposing a colleague who just got 120% of the vote in the recent election. Aye.
120%. I hadn't seen the latest numbers. Thank you, sir. Aye. Thank you.
Hales.
Aye. Okay. 10.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a motion to amend Attachment B to add a budget note regarding the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the Portland Housing Bureau's Emergency Outreach and Engagement.
Okay.
I would move my substitute. Which
I have...
So there are a couple of versions of this. So, Commissioner Saltzman, you want to describe yours?
I wasn't quite done with my motion.
Sorry, go ahead.
Because Commissioner Fish has suggested an additional line. Actually, if somebody could second it just
for
the motion.
I'll second your motion.
So we can discuss it. Thank you. That's what I was pausing for. So this budget note says that the council directs the Office of Neighborhood Involvement to work with the Portland Housing Bureau and A Home for Everyone to develop materials and messaging for community engagement on housing prior to spending the $350,000 allocated in its budget for this purpose. We propose adding a final sentence, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement will return to council for approval of the outreach plan before funds are expended.
Second.
So this is a further amendment of the...
of the budget
language
now.
In front of us. Okay.
And then I would like to...
Okay, so...
this is the appropriate time to...
Yes, Commissioner Saltzman.
So I would move a substitute, which is budget note 9. And in essence, what this does is, as I talked to budget note 12, I think, what I meant to say.
Yeah.
In essence, there has been no consultation with the Housing Bureau about this plan of approach. And while I appreciate Commissioner Fritz raising these concerns, I don't think it's appropriate to sort of prejudge the best way to accomplish the housing outreach that she desires is by placing this money in ONI. And so I'm proposing that we place the money in contingency. We charge the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Portland Housing Bureau, which has not been consulted on this, and also the proposed Joint Office for Homeless Services, which is also on the Home for Everyone, which has also had no input on this, that all these organizations work together, no presupposition about where the money lands, but come up with the best outreach plan possible, bring that back to council by August 1st for us to consider it, and then take the money, put the $350,000 in the contingency until we sign off on that plan. I think that is something that reflects a truly consensus approach to this and will result in, I think, the wisest expenditure of these dollars to achieve the much-needed outreach about housing in our city.
Commissioner Fritz,
does someone second
it? I think we have to vote on my motion procedurally.
Well, I move to substitute your motion.
Okay. First,
she has an amendment.
Is there a second to Dan's amendment?
Dan, Mayor?
All right, yes, please.
So we have an amendment to the motion. Let's take the amendment up first.
Yeah.
And then I have a follow-up question on the motion, then we can take up a substitute.
Okay, so
before we vote, it's factually incorrect to say that the Housing Bureau has not been consulted.
So the amendment is to move the funding to contingency.
No.
Sorry. Make sure I got
that's
it.
That's my amendment.
That's what I'm saying.
Fritz's amendment.
Substitute is to move the funding to contingency.
But the amendment that we're voting on is the highlighted language in the sheet that Commissioner Fritz just circulated that says the Office of Neighborhood Involvement will return to council for approval of the outreach plan before funds are expended.
Well, let's pull this apart because we have two separate questions before us. One is the language that Commissioner Fritz proposed that's highlighted in yellow that says that they'll come back. The second question, which Commissioner Saltzman has raised, is no, don't do that. Put the money in contingency.
So, Mayor, just in terms of procedure, we have a motion.
Right.
We have an amendment to the motion. Let's take that up, and then the substitute tests whether her version or his version has majority support.
Right. So the first thing we vote on is Commissioner Saltzman's.
I believe
we vote on the substitute first, Commissioner.
Yeah, point of order. Substitute does take precedence, I believe, right, over an amendment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you prefer my motion, you would vote no on the substitute.
Right. So we're voting on Commissioner Saltzman's substitute first.
Let me just be clear. My support for your motion is contingent on it being amended.
Yes, and I have.
Yeah, so we'll get to that.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get to that. So right now we're voting on Commissioner Saltzman's substitute.
Where's Robert's rules when we need him?
We need Robert.
We're doing it from memory, and I think we got it. I think we got it right so far.
There you go.
All right. So let's proceed with voting on Commissioner Saltzman's substitute, which is to require that the funds be allocated to contingency. Roll call.
Well, and actually, Mayor, just to clarify on that, what I heard, it's the substitute budget note. Commissioner Saltzman also has an amendment which would actually move the funds from ONI into contingency.
That's right. Yes,
but I think what you've put on the table right now is just the substitute budget note.
Yeah, I think the substitute budget note on that motion would, if it passes, I think that would flow logically, right, that we would put it in contingency by a separate motion.
Okay. All right. So voting on Commissioner Saltzman's substitute. Roll call, please.
Fish.
This is a case where two colleagues share a desire to do community outreach but have a difference of opinion about how we do it. And I guess normally my inclination would be to side with the commissioner in charge that has the most immediate impact. On this one, however, with the amendment that Commissioner Fritz is prepared to accept to her motion, I'm comfortable putting ONI in the lead, subject to this matter coming to council for a discussion about the plan. I regret that we have to resolve this by a vote. My preference is that we should be able to work this out in a more collegial way, but this is subject to a vote, and we have to choose. So I'm going to respectfully vote no on the substitute.
Saltzman?
Well, again, as the housing commissioner, I feel this is the best approach. Place it in contingency, charge the affected bureaus to come up with a plan that makes sense, not to prejudge that it's going to go to one bureau, and then they have to, you know, call the shots. So I think if we're really interested in achieving the best outreach about what we're doing on housing, affordable housing development, and homeless services, we should charge those bureaus to come back with a non-biased plan about how best to do the job and then let council approve it by August 1st out of contingency. So I vote aye.
Novick.
I also am distressed at being in the position of choosing between two colleagues who, as Commissioner Fish said, ultimately share the same goals. I think it might ultimately make a great deal of sense to have ONI do this outreach, but I am concerned that the commissioner in charge of housing, and this is outreach about housing, thinks that we need to wait to make a decision as to how exactly the outreach shall occur. It seems to me that Commissioner Saltzman's proposal allows for further